It's Audiomo, 2020, day 29. In this last selection from the interview I did with Eileen, we look at the last few years of her life, from losing her husband and now being in her 80s or 90s, but that wasn't going to slow her down. She became a champion of lifelong learning in Wales. She sat a degree. She became an author of multiple books and all the way through it kept on telling the story of the women of the filter room. And telling that story meant so much to her. She's forever memorialised in the recreation of the filter room at Bentley Priory. And for me, it was an absolute honour to have known Eileen. It was only for 4 years, but I used to have very long hour, 2 hour phone calls with her at all kinds of times of the day, even really late at night. She was quite a night owl and she's a great loss. I miss her. So I like to think of these recordings as a memoriam to Eileen Younghusband, who, without doubt, was one hell of an inspirational woman.
When I suddenly lost my husband after only being in Wales for a very short time, I lost Peter in 85, and then I lost my son, Clive, when he was 50 in 2004. I realised that I'd got to face the future alone. And I'd always wanted to go to university. It was really because I enjoy learning. And I found the lifelong learning section of Cardiff University and did an interesting course, proper course in Spanish then. You know, I did it correctly and took level one and level two. And the University of Cardiff said that the lifelong learning students, the older people, were at equally high level in their exams as the ordinary undergraduates. And because of that, they were going to give a diploma of higher education when we had got level one and level two, but it had to be in two separate subjects. So I quickly did something in creative writing, because I'd always written poetry or written things very easily. So I did that very quickly. And I was one of the first five that got this diploma of higher education. And that meant I only had to do one more year study to get a degree. And I decided, well, I've always wanted one. Why not go ahead? And so, and I think it was 2008 when I was 87. I enrolled in the Open University because I thought I could then do it on my computer online, because I'd been computer literate from as soon as it was possible. Started with an Amstrad computer. And so I thought I could do the last year in creative writing and it would be a doddle. But of course, when I applied, they were not doing the final year in creative writing. So I ended up doing sociolinguistics. I got my final 60 points, which brought me up to the total of 300 necessary. And then they said, ah, yes, but you've only done 60 with us. We insist you do 100. I assumed they wanted a bit more money off me. So I then did 10 at Bath University in philosophy, level three, at a summer school, which was a fascinating thing. I'd never studied philosophy, but I got that okay. And then I had to do another 30. And the only subject I could find that covered 30 at level three was the perspectives of complementary and alternative medicines. So I've got what they call an open degree. And I don't quite know how it happened, but fortunately, because it was through NIAS, National Institute of Adult Continuous Education, they decided to award me the Open University Learner of the Year. So that was the same year. I think I was awarded that a week before I actually got my degree at St. David's Hall in Cardiff. And it was the same man. So when I appeared on the platform the second time, he said, oh, I've seen you before this week. I got what I'd always wanted. I became a BA in brackets open. it was through the work that I was doing at the Cardiff University Lifelong Learning that I was horrified when the Welsh government decided that they were going to get rid of some of the subjects which came under the humanities label with lifelong learning. And I had seen the benefits that older people were getting from varying subjects, from the languages they were going to maintain, but music and Latin, a lot of the creative writing subjects they were going to get rid of. And there were so many people who probably never went out anywhere. But when they found these classes, it kept their minds active. It meant even though you were getting older, you were still interested in things. You were meeting other people, and maybe lifelong friendships were then formed for people from their mid-40s. Some women who brought up children and they were now not doing much. So I got involved in the campaign to make certain that as many as possible of the subjects were maintained, and we finally won. And that led, much to my surprise, my name being put forward for a British Empire Medal for Education by one of the teachers that had been teaching me creative writing. In fact, it was the head of the creative writing department who had offered a publishing course on a one-to-one basis. And I, by then, had written my very first book, more or less, called Not an Ordinary Life. And I enjoyed this class with him. Instead of doing it online, we did it together in his office. And I put everything on a memory stick, and we played it into his computer, where he'd got a special program called InDesign. And we decided the shape of the pages, the font, the size of the spaces, how we would head it, where we would put the number of the page. He designed the cover, and I listed the contents, and I managed to get a few reviews. And we did our first book together, and then Cardiff University Lifelong Learning said that they would actually publish it. Well, what they did is launch it, get the ISBN number, and I had to find the people to print it, and I've sold most of them myself. And that's been quite a success. And then I realized after that I was able to write books, and that was it, at least, until I was interviewed by Hugh Turnbull, who was with BBC Radio Wales, and he had to come and do a program with me called My Secret War. And after it, he said, "You've got another book in you." And that's when I wrote my second book called One Woman's War, which I am so thrilled I managed to, much to my surprise, be awarded the People's Book Prize by a society that was started by Beryl Bainbridge, who thought that the readers should choose who wins a prize for a book. And I gained this year for nonfiction. It was one of the most thrilling nights of my life, I think. So now I finished my third book, and that's called Men I Have Known. A little more light-hearted, shall we say, perhaps, than the others. But I hope it'll give people some interest and some pleasure. And that was launched on my 92nd birthday. Working in the filter room, and then later on in these later years, writing the story of the work of the filter room, the reason I've remembered everything is because, to me, it has been to dedicate to the women who work there, all of them, airwomen, officers, young women from 19 to probably about 24 or 25 years of age. Their dedication was superb. And you have to remember that so many of these women had got boyfriends, brothers, cousins, even husbands in the Air Force, pilots or air crew. And we all knew which squadrons were operating, whether they were the fighters that were intercepting or whether they were the bombers going out on the bombing raids. And sometimes We would take out 500 bombers on a raid to the Ruhr, and back would come perhaps 400, and then 20, and then maybe two, and the two would crash into the channel, and no more. And yet, these girls, we never had hysteria, we never had crying, never did we have anybody who neglected their job. They just got on with it and did it. We had 8-hour watches. If we were very busy, you were lucky if you got 15 minutes off. If it was quiet, of course, it was in a way just as bad because you were waiting for the next thing to happen. And these girls never failed us. They were fantastic. And I really think they're the ones that have to be remembered. Well, people use this word, I don't know why, inspiring. Lots of people say that. Looking back on my life, there's been a lot of coincidences that I could not believe could ever have happened. There'd been lots of opportunities, again, that I didn't anticipate. And I think I've been lucky to have had the sort of life I've had without really doing very much about it, except just living in the era when all these things were possible.